In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. In honor of the 500th year anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther hanging his 95 theses on the door of Wittenberg Castle Church in order to challenge the Roman Catholic Church to address its abuses, I give you this quote from Luther's larger catechism, where he is honest about how difficult the role of parenting is. He said, quote, "As a rule, the parents, too, are themselves stupid and ignorant. One fool teaches another, and as they lived, so live their children after them." End quote. We don't hear such frank speaking today, and that is a shame. Such direct speaking cuts to the heart of the human condition, even the condition of those who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Being on this side of heaven means that we are stupid and ignorant. And what we pass on to our children is stupid and ignorant, and we need not feel depressed about that. When we compare all the glorious truths of the heavens and the earth to what we understand as individuals, we should conclude that we are stupid and ignorant. When we consider the great mysteries of God, which include His triune nature, along with His oneness, we are stupid and ignorant. When we try to contemplate how everything exists by the means of God, and that God had no beginning Himself, but exists by the necessity of His own nature, we again can conclude about ourselves that we are stupid and ignorant. Although such line of thinking, we should remember Job, who thought that he had a right to question God about his own suffering. The very idea of questioning God revealed that Job is stupid and ignorant, as God asks questions that Job cannot possibly answer with proof that he is not stupid and ignorant. "Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." Job cannot answer. He cannot answer because he knows that he has been uncovered, revealed. The truth is before him about himself. He is stupid and ignorant. Every parent must understand that they are stupid and ignorant if mom and dad are going to pass on anything of value to their children. Of the many things we want our children to know, there is a reality that parents will fall vastly short at teaching their children. And therefore, there is a necessity that God, by the person of the Holy Spirit, fill in the many, many gaps that parents leave in the lives of their children. Adding to the many gaps parents leave when educating their children in the truths of God's world, there is also the reality of parents harming their children, either carelessly or intentionally. There are parents who abuse their children emotionally and physically. And such abuse gives deep scars to children that makes it seemingly impossible to overcome, because the people that were supposed to love them most didn't love them at all. Am I depressing you? You've just heard from the pulpit this Sunday morning that you are stupid and ignorant, and that you're going to pass down that stupidity and ignorance to your children. You heard as well that the reality that some children are abused by their own parents. That would make any happy person depressed when considering such confessions. But we need to consider the realities of the human condition, even when we read of the heritage of Ezra, as he himself lists that heritage. Although he comes from the line of Aaron, and that may impress us all, Aaron the high priest, the brother to Moses, he also comes from a line that is guilty of leading the people of God into worshiping a golden calf, an idol. And a line that is Aaron's that contained Aaron's sons who offered strange fire in the tabernacle and who were struck dead by God because of it. Where we might have read Ezra's lineage and been impressed, we should reconsider by remembering the great offenses made by Aaron and his lineage. They were stupid and ignorant. The lineage listed is incomplete. It only lists 16 generations instead of the needed 27. But the number of men listed is for brevity's sake and for mentioning those God used to lead his people. Sariah is mentioned. He was the high priest that was slain by Nebuchadnezzar, as recorded in Jeremiah chapter 52. That Ezra was of the line of the first high priest, Aaron, and of the high priest who last served in Israel before Babylonian exile, Sariah. These truths make him suitable, Ezra, a suitable man for the time God called him. And most importantly, it shows that God fulfills his covenant promises. Even when his people don't fulfill their promises, God fulfills his. A large and repeated oversight amongst Christians is to not understand God in terms of covenant. The Jesus and only me crowd teaches that Jesus should be related to in terms of being a personal Savior only. But Jesus is the Savior of a people as a whole, as much as he is of individual persons. At his ascension, he went to prepare a place for his bride, the church, and he is returning to retrieve his bride, the church. The church is made up of individuals, and he knows each of his individuals by name, but he retrieves them together as one. A really bad theology has swept through Western Christianity, specifically through Protestant and evangelical Christianity. It is the belief that God's covenant is actually a series of different covenants, different what they call dispensations. It is the teaching that God dealt with Adam and Eve differently than he dealt with Abraham. And that was different than how he would deal with Moses and the Israelites. And that was different than what he promised King David. And that is different than what he established under Jesus. Some of these ignorant teachers even go so far as to say that none of the Old Testament is needed because under the covenant of Jesus, the law is not necessary. Except the law of tithing. That seems to be the only law these teachers think is applicable to today. Wonder why. Proper teaching of all of Scripture is that the covenant of God made under Adam continued in his covenant with Abraham, and that continued in his covenant with Moses, and that continued in his promises with David, and all of them were fulfilled in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. They were and are the same covenant with new revelations along the way. This teaching of Holy Scripture has been the teaching of the Christian faith, both East and West, since the time of the apostles, and when the church started keeping records and holding councils.
It is the teaching of the church because it is the teaching of Holy Scripture. When Paul teaches that Abraham was made righteous by faith, he is teaching that the God of the covenant of Abraham is the God of the covenant we are under in Jesus. When Jesus says that Abraham saw his day and was glad, and the Psalms of David and the prophets spoke about him, he is saying that in all is one. One covenant revealed and fulfilled in Jesus. And when Ezra lists the line of his family and mentions the last priest who served in Israel to the first high priest named Aaron, he is showing how God is the same God that delivered Israel out of Egypt, as he is the God who is now leading Israel back from exile. The purpose of Ezra listing his own lineage is also to help the reader understand what is happening next. Ezra was being appointed by God to lead Israel in the task of beautifying the temple. But that was not all. Ezra was also given the task by God to beautify the people of Israel. To prove he was called to the task, three things needed to be in place. First, Ezra needed to be of the correct lineage according to the law of Moses, and he's proven that that is so. Second, he needed to receive permission and freedom from the king of Persia to implement his plans to beautify the temple. And that occurred by a letter prepared by King Artaxerxes, which both empowered Ezra to return to Jerusalem and to carry out his calling, as well as to prove that God had moved upon the king's heart, just as he did when Zerubbabel was allowed to return. And the final thing needed for Ezra to return and lead Israel is found in verse 10. I didn't like the NIV, how it read, so I'll read the New King James here. Verse 10 of chapter 7. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. This is where we will focus our attention. We focus our attention here because this is where we become less stupid and less ignorant. And this is where a generation needs to rise up and fill the church with men who have prepared their hearts to seek the law of the Lord and to teach the truths of Holy Scripture according to the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is most appropriate that we hear the Sunday after Reformation Sunday of the importance of preparing our hearts to seek the word of the Lord. The hand of God was upon many of the original reformers back in 1517 and following. And I say that not as a matter of rejoicing. I do not believe the Reformation as a whole is something that we should celebrate. It should not be celebrated because it split the church. It should not be celebrated because the church remains split and splintered. But the Reformation is something to commemorate because from it the gospel was preserved. And by that I mean the message of the gospel was no longer obscured by extra biblical doctrines such as purgatory, and no longer obscured by false teachings that said we were able to pay for God's forgiveness. It's actually blasphemous. The Bible teaches that people are saved, forgiven of their sins, and receivers of the hope of heaven by means of the grace of God and the gift of faith in his atoning work. That is it. That is all that is needed. And we say, thanks be to God. And that truth alone is enough evidence to say that the hand of God was upon the reformers. And the other evidence of God's providential hand was the timing of the inventing, of course, of the printing press. Most of you know, around the year 1440, a German goldsmith named Johannes Gutenberg invented the printing press. And that, by the 1500s, allowed multiple volumes of books to be printed in a relatively short period of time. And this resulted in Luther not only translating the Bible into German for the people of Germany to hear God's word in their own tongue, but also to read it, as it was available to be printed and reprinted on a large scale. Such is evidence of God's hand. God wants His holy word to be accessible to His people so that they may read it and know it and believe it. Because of God's hand upon the Reformation, including all the technological advances we have today, it is possible for every one of us, hear this now, it is possible for every one of us to prepare our hearts to seek the word of the Lord and to do so just as Ezra did. All of us have access to Bibles that are translated by good, sound scholarship. Yes, there are some bad translations out there, so I don't make a general statement about all that's available in English. But good ones are readily available in print and digital form. There is the King James Version, the New King James Version, the New American Standard, the English Standard Version, and yes, I'll even take the NIV. Those of you who sit in my Bible study would appreciate that. All of them give us access to know the Word of God. And to know the Word of God is to overcome stupidity and ignorance. Because each of us is able to do as Ezra did, we can know the Word of God. And the New King James says next, and do it. That is, obey it. We can live out the Word of God. Consider that strife and anger can be overcome in your life if you practice what the Epistle of James teaches, which is where we are instructed to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, and to humble ourselves. Consider that strife in relationships can be overcome and true healing can take place when we live by the definition of love, which is not to keep record of wrong, to actually think the best first about someone else, to forgive one another, truly forgive. Consider that fear can be dominated by love when we choose to trust God as our defender. All such is doing the Word of God. Because each of us is able to do as Ezra did, we can know the Word of God and do it. And hear this now for everyone. We can teach it. We can teach it. All of us, every one of us, is a teacher. Husbands and wives who have healthy biblical relationships that are submitting to one another, as St. Paul instructs to the Ephesians. Such husbands and wives are regularly teaching one another. When I learn something new while studying for a sermon, I tell my wife about it. When she is reading a book on Christian living and she shares some insights that she is struck by, I receive education. And when she simply lets me know what a woman's mind is thinking in a situation, that's a teaching moment. And then the teaching is passed on to the children. Mothers and fathers should be regularly telling their children what they have been learning. And children should be telling their friends what they have been learning. Iron sharpening iron. That is the Christian life for all believers. Teaching and learning is discipleship, and that is what Jesus wants us to be. Disciples. A disciple is one who is ready to learn. So it is good news that each of us can be as Ezra, and thus each of us can know the Word of God, each of us can do the Word of God, and each of us can teach it. And yet there is something unique about Ezra that needs to be acknowledged. Let's not overlook that Ezra was a priest. He was a man called to minister in God's house. And under the covenant of Christ Jesus, there continues a call to minister in God's house. The concern is that there are not enough men who heed the call and do as Ezra did, which is to set his heart to know the Word of God and to do it and to teach it within the house of God. And so I stand here again with the admonishment for young men to consider. Consider the call to be a deacon, to be a presbyter, to be a bishop. But the church doesn't need more bodies for the sake of having more bodies to fill pulpits. No, the church needs men who will prepare their hearts to know God's word and to do it and to teach it. In our own diocese, there are at least three parishes that I know of that are in need of rectors, pastors. There are 13 seminarians enrolled in our seminary, but not all of them, I think not most of them, are Reformed Episcopal. Then there is a need to plant new churches, which is as we as a parish are hoping to do in the region of North Carroll County. When Jesus said that the fields are ripe for harvest, but the laborers are few, I have often wondered if he was simply talking about his day or for only certain days down through the ages. How do you know? Numbers show that Christian faithfulness is shrinking in the United States at an alarming rate. And it's almost died out in Europe, as you know. Thus, it can be asked, are there fields ripe for harvest today? My wisdom is that we don't know until we send laborers out into the field. And so there is something formal about Ezra coming to Jerusalem as he has prepared himself to know God's word and to do it and to be able to teach as a priest. But there is something very practical as well. We live in a time where each of us can be ready to know God's word and to do it and to teach it. There are always a need for Sunday school teachers, catechism teachers, Bible study leaders. You know, we have in this parish no restriction on how many Bible studies go on throughout the week. No restrictions. So what say you? I hope it is, here I am. Let us pray.